Well, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, beginning in verse 20, you know, when you look at the book of Daniel and you look at the book of Revelation, in the Old Testament, Daniel being so greatly loved by God because of his incredible obedience, John, the beloved apostle, being so loved by God. In fact, John calls himself the beloved. And both of them being incredibly obedient to the Lord, they have been given these incredible prophecies to us. Now, we know Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Joel and some of these others as well. But in particular, in the book of Daniel, in the book of the book of Revelation, we are given these incredible, incredible pictures of prophecy in the last days. What God was doing for a young man named Daniel is God was giving him 490 years into the future from about the program, the plan he had for the Jewish people. When you come to chapter 9, beginning in verse 20, we're going to look at several things tonight. Page 948 in your Bible there in the back of the pew. Gabriel brings an answer. I oftentimes think that people think that angels are omnipresent. In other words, that they can be anywhere at the same time. But they are created beings. They can be wherever God dispatches them, wherever God locates them, wherever God puts them for a specific purpose. In fact, Hebrews tells us that angels, are they not ministering spirits for those that will inherit salvation? And so Gabriel, the one that announced to Mary about the birth of Jesus, the one that announced to Zacharias about the birth of John the Baptist, Gabriel seems to be the announcing angel. Michael seems to be a warring angel and one that watches over the nation of Israel. But in verse 20, Daniel is saying, now remember, we've just read all of those first 19 verses where Daniel realized that time was about up to get to go back to the homeland. In fact, there were three deportations back to rebuild Jerusalem or back to go back to the homeland. Two of those were under King Cyrus, the king of the Persian Empire. And the third deportation that would include this tonight would be under King Artaxerxes. And you will notice Daniel's been praying, asking for forgiveness of the nation. We talked a lot about prayer last time and how important prayer is for you and to me, to pray for the nation, to pray for the sins of our nation in America, to pray for each other, to pray for repentance to come. And in verse 20, we're told, Daniel says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing, notice, my sin and the sin of my people. Daniel lumps that in there. When Ken sang the song a few moments ago, what sin? What sin? Aren't you grateful for Calvary? Aren't you grateful for the cross? Aren't you grateful for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness? And as that song says and Scripture says, He remembers our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I like what Bertha Smith, the great missionary to China, said. She said he posted a sign that says, no fishing. I love that statement. Notice Daniel's praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. He's speaking about Jerusalem. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, remember that whenever we did our angel studies, the angels are in the masculine form. And notice he even brings it up here. The man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of evening sacrifice. Two things there. God dispatched Gabriel when Daniel needed interpretation and an explanation. Notice it refers to him coming in swift flight. If you can imagine, some 187 trillion billion miles into the heavenlies. Somewhere beyond that 187 trillion billion miles is where God dwells. If you can only imagine, in an instant of time, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 11/100ths of a second, we'll be from earth into the presence of 187 trillion billion miles and beyond where God dwells. Isn't that absolutely incredible? Isn't it just fascinating? You know, the world does not understand that. Those things are spiritually taught. They are spiritually discerned from Scripture. And notice what he says here. He says, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at first, came to me in swift flight. And notice the phrase, at the time of the evening sacrifice. I mean, the Jewish people hadn't done sacrifices in many years. But Daniel remembers. I mentioned this morning, one of the country singers out there that many people love is Alan Jackson. I suppose that Alan Jackson and Vince Gill have sung for more funerals than anybody I know, because their CDs are used at almost every one I attend. But Alan Jackson sings Remember When. Remember when. Notice Daniel is remembering when the evening sacrifice would take place in his city that he loved so much, the city of Jerusalem. Even though the evening sacrifices had not been done for a number of years because of God's disobedient people and because of their captivity. Verse 22, Daniel says, he made me understand. He's speaking of this angel, this created being, this awesome presence that God dispatches this angel to minister here to Daniel. Notice Gabriel made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I love that, speaking with me. When you see where angels are present and they say, fear not, angels can speak when God wants them to speak. They can show up in bodily form when God wants them to show up in bodily form. They can show up in invisible form when God chooses to let them be invisible to human eyes. Notice what Gabriel says, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. Get the picture. Daniel's praying. It's around the evening sacrifice of what would be his worship time in Jerusalem. Daniel's praying, and immediately God sends Gabriel. And Gabriel says, Daniel, I've come to give you insight and understanding. What insight and understanding is he referring to? He is referring to the insight and understanding of what this is all about. That God is going to give him 490 years into the future of God's plan and program for the Jewish people, and to the end of the age. Now notice he says in verse 23, at the beginning of your pleas, notice Gabriel is speaking to Daniel, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I've come to tell it to you. You know that old song we sing, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Let me tell you, whenever you begin to pray, when you begin to intercede, when you and I really become serious in our fervency, in our effectualness in prayer time, let me tell you, no telling what God would do if we would get serious as Daniel did. And I love that Gabriel says, when you began your pleas for mercy, a word went out. God sends out a word. I can only imagine Gabriel is standing there in the presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven. And God looks at him and says, Gabriel, you need to get down there right now and explain all of this to Daniel. Notice what happens here. He said, I've come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Notice that phrase, greatly loved. When I taught English, we talked about adverbs. And our adverbs tell how. How was he loved? Greatly. He's greatly loved. Why was Daniel so greatly loved? Even though we know he is a human being, we know he is a creation of God, and yet the Bible does not give one ill word about Daniel anywhere in the canon of Scripture that you and I have. And yet we know that Daniel would not be a sinless person. But I believe that Daniel is a great picture and a great illustration to you and me that we can live far better lives than maybe what we live. That we can live closer to the Lord each day. Daniel was one of those people. He determined in his heart he would not be in bow to the culture of the day, nor compromise in any way, form, or fashion. Yet he's still in a fleshly body, and these bodies are bent toward sin. Yet in all of that, Daniel tried to live a righteous life. And Gabriel says, I mean, can you only imagine God dispatched an angel to you tonight that you could see, and the angel began to talk to you that you were greatly loved? Can you only imagine how that gave encouragement to someone like Daniel? Therefore, notice what Gabriel said to Daniel. Therefore, in other words, because of all of this, consider the word and understand the vision. Understand the vision. Now, here's what Gabriel is going to make Daniel understand, why all these visions, why all of these situations have come. 70 weeks. This is very important that you understand tonight. When you're looking at the word weeks there, here in the Old Testament, that is referring, weeks is not 7 days. Weeks here is referring to 7 years. So you're going to have 70 times 7. And 70 times 7, when I went to school and the way we taught multiplication, we could understand it. Math has changed over the years, the way we teach it, but I'll tell you, the old way was the best way. 70 times 7 is 490 years. How'd you get that, preacher? Well, 70. Weeks are 7 years each, and you've got 70 times 7 years each, so you've got 490 years. Gabriel is saying to Daniel, God is telling you that there's going to be 70 weeks decreed to the Jewish people, God's program for the Jewish people. I read a story that I believe it was Dr. Talbot of Talbot Seminary, was on a train one time, and right in the middle of the train trip, the train had to get off the track, change tracks. It was set aside on another track. They came and announced the reason for that. They said, the gospel train, or the main train, there's a train that's coming through. And it's a train that has to get where it's going before we do. Dr. Talbot said, when I thought about that, he said, there it was, right in plain day, He said, God had the Jewish people. He was their Messiah. All the way through the Bible, the Messiah was prophesied to come. But the Jewish people rejected their Messiah and didn't believe that he was who he said he was. So the train was set aside on another track so that the gospel train could come through. Folks, the gospel train is the church. Since the day of crucifixion and resurrection, from Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and the gospel train is going through, but one of these days when the gospel train, the church, is raptured out of the world, the Jewish people sitting on that other track are going to get back on track with God, and he's got a program to complete with them. And so this 70 weeks, or these 70 times 7, these 490 years, Gabriel is telling Daniel, these 490 years, these 77s, are decreed about your people and your holy city, the city of Jerusalem. Now, notice he's going to give us six things here. He's going to give six things that are greatly important. He is going to give six things. To finish the transgression. Secondly, to put an end to sin. Thirdly, let's get the rest of the verse there. And to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Now we can ask the question, has all of that happened? And of course the answer is no. All of that has not happened yet, but it's going to happen one of these days. Now notice here what is vitally important for you and to me to know. In verse 25, he says, know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word, Gabriel is speaking to Daniel, from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks, 490 years. Seven weeks, 49. 49. Okay, so here's the picture. Daniel is listening to Gabriel, and Gabriel is saying, when the decree went out to go back to help rebuild the city of Jerusalem after the 70 years that they've been in captivity, he said, there is going to be 7 weeks. So 7 times 7 is 49 of these 490 years, okay? So you've got 49 years there. They're going to go back. They're going to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Then for 62 more weeks times 7, that would give you 62 weeks, and 7 weeks is what? 69 weeks of years. So that would be 69 times 7 years, that would give you 483 years of this prophecy. He says, then for 62 weeks it shall be built again. He's speaking about Jerusalem. So you've got 62 weeks and 7 weeks that this is going to be done through the years, with squares and moat. But notice, in a troubled time. The nation of Israel has always experienced trouble. Jesus died in about AD 32. 40 years after the death of Christ, the resurrection, and the ascension, Titus and the Roman army marched into the city of Jerusalem and desolated the city of Jerusalem. brought it down to ruins. And so some of that is involved in all of this. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off. That is referring to Jesus when he would ride into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and be cut off. It means that he would be crucified and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And so in AD 70, the city of Jerusalem is ransacked by Titus the Roman. And so what has happened in this period of time? When the Old Testament prophets were given prophecy, they were looking at things happening one right after the other. They were not seeing the in-between things because it was not as needful for them to see and understand that. The Old Testament, Daniel did not understand that there was going to be a gap after 483 years. That's past. When we get into this last verse in a few minutes, the angel said there's going to be 70 weeks, and that's weeks of years, decreed for the Jewish people until the end of time. 483 of those years, 69 weeks, has already happened. Do y'all get that? It's past history. There's 7 more years that will give the 70th year. That 7 years is the tribulation. It is divided into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. So, 483 years have already happened. And I want to give you something that I think is incredibly interesting. Just follow me. It takes you a little while to get this. Turn to page 304 in your Bible. Page 304 in the book of Nehemiah. We've got to go all the way back to the book of Nehemiah to understand what I'm fixing to explain. This is hugely, hugely, hugely important. Page 504. Chapter 2, above your chapter says Nehemiah sent to Judah. I hear the rustle of little pages. That's wonderful in the sight of God. I heard a preacher talk the other day and said, we have come to such a technological period of time that people don't even open their Bibles anymore. Hello. Is that true? Notice in chapter 2 of the book of Nehemiah, in the month of Nisan, and by the way, that's the way that's pronounced according to Google. Someone told me today they just had a shirt made, a t-shirt, with the slogan, I don't need a wife. Had a t-shirt made that says, I don't need Google, my husband knows it all. So ladies, there you go, if you need a t-shirt. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, remember he's the one that is ruling and reigning, when the third deportation of the Jewish people get to leave captivity and go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. In the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. And that's really all I want to say about that. Okay, follow me. In the 20th year, King Artaxerxes began to reign in the year 465 BC. If you got a pen, jot this down, because this is incredible to me. So King Artaxerxes, he's ruling. The year is 465 BC. And so if he began to reign at 465, and this is, Nehemiah says this is in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year, then if we add 20 years to 445, and by the way, when it's BC, you count backwards. So you go from 465 down to 20 years would make it 445 BC. Now, the first day of Nisan is March the 14th. According to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, the first 69 weeks began at a specific time. When the decree went out, 445 BC, and it ended at a certain time. In other words, the 69 weeks that Gabriel is telling him about, these have already passed. It's past history. God decreed there's going to be 70 times 7 years decreed for the Jewish people to the end of time. 483 of them are gone. They're in the past. There's one more week of seven. The 69 weeks of Daniel began with March the 14th, 445 BC, when Artaxerxes' decree went out that the third deportation of the Jewish people could go back to their homeland. Now here's where it gets really interesting. Weeks or years here, okay? And the years had not 365 days like you and I have, but in the Jewish calendar, they had 360 days. When they were fixing our calendar, they had to account for leap year. And in the Jewish calendar, they had other ways of accounting for that. But the simple calculation is this. If you take 69 weeks of times 7, 483 years in the Jewish program that God has for the nation, it's already passed. There's only 1 week of 7 left. So if you take 69 weeks of years times 7, that's 483 years, right? Those years have already happened. But if we multiply those years, each of those 483 years, their calendar year only had 360 days. So if you multiply 360 days times 483 years, you would come out with 173,880. 173,880. If you take March the 14th and 445 BC, when the decree from Artaxerxes was sent out to rebuild Jerusalem, and you add to that 173,880 days, you would come to April the 6th, AD 32. And according to Sir Robert Anderson in his chronology, it was on that specific day that Jesus Christ rode into the city of Jerusalem for the last week in his triumphant entry. Isn't it incredible how exact, how detailed God's word is? I don't know about you, but I think that's exciting. I think that's exciting. Okay, God had told Daniel, I'm going to decree 490 years for my people, the Jewish people. Remember, they're on the sidetrack of the train. They rejected Jesus. And so the gospel train was on the main track, the church. You and I have been sailing through on the track for 2,000 years. It's a gap between the 69th year and the last year, the 70th year. There's a gap between the last 69 years, weeks of years, 483 for the Jewish people. It's already happened. It's in the past. It's history. It's filed out there in space. There's one more week for God's program to be completed for the Jewish people. It's the 70th week, which will be during the days of the tribulation, the last 7 years. But something happened between the 483 years that have already passed and the last 7 years that are to come. And what happened there is the gospel ship of the church. There's a gap. When Daniel, when these Old Testament prophets were prophesying, they weren't given any information about the church. Because didn't we just look at that about a week ago? The mystery of Christ, the church, God's program for the Gentiles. So, if you're sitting on this side of the sanctuary tonight, y'all are the 483 years that have already passed in God's program for the Jewish people. If y'all are sitting on this side of the aisle, you are the last 7 years that is coming, the 70th week of God's program for the Jewish people. In the middle aisle, we are the church. It's the gap between the 483 weeks of years that have already passed and seven that are coming. God stopped his program for the Jewish people. Read Romans 9 through 11. God stopped his program. He's not finished with the nation of Israel. And yet you and I are living in a day where they're out there teaching and preaching that the church has replaced the nation of Israel. That is not true. That is not truth. And so we're living in this gap. Daniel didn't see it. Daniel didn't understand the church age. Nehemiah didn't understand the church age. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Joel didn't understand the church age. But we're in the gap between the past 483 years, and so there's only 7 years left. So we, for 2,000 years, have been on the gospel train, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever the last person in the church age, in this gap, is saved, God will tell Jesus to come and gather his children up and bring them home. And then this last week of Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy for the Jewish people will begin again. And the Jewish people will once again be on track for God's program in their life. Pick it up with me and let's go to the end here. Verse 32, and he shall make a strong covenant. Verse 27, there's a lot of years difference in these verses. And that's why so many people don't understand the book of Daniel. Now we're going to get to the part about this prince that's coming one of these days. But he won't be a prince. He'll be the Antichrist. We saw just a faint picture of him through Antiochus Epiphanes, when he desecrated the temple and slit a pig's throat and sprayed blood all over the temple walls and caused all of the desolation and the abomination that he did for the Jewish people. Verse 27, and he shall make a strong covenant with many, speaking about the Jews, for 1 week. How many years is a week? 7. This will be your 70th week of prophecy that Gabriel is telling Daniel what this all means. And for half of the week, that would be a half of 7, used to be 3.5 years. It did when I went to school. So a half a week is the first half of the tribulation, and then the other 3.5 weeks is the great tribulation. That's where the Antichrist is going to break this covenant. He's going to make a treaty with the Jewish people when the Christians are gone out of the world. If you can only imagine when millions of people are raptured out of this world. You can only imagine what the world is going to be in an instant of time. And the devil has his man in every generation. The devil has had, since he doesn't know when this is all going to happen, he's always had an Antichrist out there in every generation because he's not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. Therefore, he does not know. You will remember on the night of the betrayal, on the night when Jesus and the disciples were in the upper room, the Bible said Satan entered in to Judas Iscariot. Somebody asked me, do you believe the Antichrist is alive? I possibly think so, with the way the world is right now. Does he know he's the Antichrist? Probably not. Does Satan know he's the Antichrist? Probably not. But when he comes forward, let me tell you, in that last 3.5 years, he will be Satan incarnate in the sense that Satan will infiltrate him and make him one of the most vile, wicked, despicable human beings that has ever, ever, ever lived. In fact, at the end of the tribulation period, when we come back with Jesus from heaven, one of the first people that's going to be cast into the lake of fire is going to be the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will be the first two. And you might say, well, what about people today? There's 150,000 people today worldwide that are going to die. Some of them will go to heaven. Many of them won't. Where are they going to be? I thought they went to hell. Will they go to a place of torment? Torment. The final hell of fire and brimstone will be whenever he casts the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. And then those of the ages that are lost forever, they will later be cast into the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth. So verse 27 is this last 7 years of time for the history of the Jewish people. He shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, that's for 7 years. For half of the week, that's 3.5 years, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolate. Get the picture. When the church is gone, God starts the clock on the last week, the last 7 years, as I understand it, for the Jewish people. At the beginning of it, this one world leader that is going to have the answer to all of life's questions. I mean, he will be filled with all kinds of charisma, This will be something the world will gaze and wonder and look upon, and somebody well-pleasing to the eye, smart, intelligent, all of the leadership qualities that you could ever even begin to imagine. And he'll sit down with the Jewish people and basically say, hey, it's time to build your temple. It's time to restart your sacrificial system. And he'll sign a peace treaty with them, a covenant with them, for the first 3.5 years. And in that first 3.5 years, there are going to be all kinds of things that are going to be happening. And since I have gone to so much in-depth study in the book of Daniel, I think it would be a waste if I don't go ahead and on Sunday night and Wednesday night do the book of Revelation so we can tie it all together and see where we are. How many of you want me to do that? Because to me, if we don't, you've just only got a part of it. And so in the middle of the last week, the last 7 years, at the end of the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist breaks the peace treaty. He will cause the Jews all the grief in the world that he can cause them, as well as those that are left behind that do not take his mark. Those that do not follow the Antichrist and take his mark on the right hand or in the forehead. A lot of people are worried right now about all of the things that are going on, the technology, the microchips, and all of this. Folks, the mark of the beast hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen in the tribulation. And those that follow the Antichrist and take his mark, they're doomed forever. They will not be saved, period. Once they take his mark, they sealed their doom. But there's going to be 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 times 12 is 12 times 12 is 144,000. 12,000 times that. 12,000 from each of Jacob's sons, the tribes. 144,000 Jews that are going to be evangelizing the world. God will raise up two witnesses. You know, we like to think it's going to be Moses and Elijah. Some say Enoch and Elijah. You know, I don't care who it is. Whether it's those two or two others that you and I don't know. All I know is God's going to raise up two witnesses, and they're going to be evangelizing too for a while. But it will be during that period of time that the Jews will have an opportunity to once again receive their Messiah. Will all of the Jews receive Jesus during the tribulation? No. But those who do, that's what the scripture means when it says, and all Israel will be, future tense, all Israel will be saved. All of those Jews that are saved will be considered all Israel. The rest that reject the Messiah, take the mark of the beast, they're doomed forever. Now, the Jews were scattered all over the world. There are German Jews. There are Russian Jews. There are Jews from Polish Jews. There are many of the, if you'll remember, we call it the dispersion whenever the Jews began to scatter. And it wasn't until 1948, May 12th, I believe it was, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, as I recall. I wasn't alive then, but I've read about it. But on May 12th, 1948, the Jews began to start coming back home to their land. And folks, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I know he's coming. And I know that the World Economic Forum, I know that the Club of Rome, all of these groups out there that are pushing for a one-world government and a one-world religion so that people can be controlled and told how to worship, how to think. I know that they're pushing for the year 2030. Wow, that's what, 8 years? 7.5? They're pushing for that year when everybody will be more under a different umbrella of things. You know, when the Bible says to us, a son is born, to us a son is given. But the rest of that verse is speaking about the future. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but it's interesting to me because what I'm reading today, I'm watching unfold from God's Word. And we are closer, I believe, than what you and I could ever even begin to imagine. As it was in the days of Noah, they were marrying, they were bearing, they were given in marriage, they were going up and down doing their thing, living godless lives. As it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be when Jesus calls us out of this world one of these days. Nobody knows the day, no one knows the hour, but only God the Father knows when that's going to happen. But you and I are on the good old gospel ship called the church. And those Old Testament prophets, they didn't get that because they didn't see that. But you and I are living between those 69 weeks of 7 years, 483 years, they're gone, they're past, and there's one more week of 7 years for the Jewish people, but there's a gap, and it's called the church age. And when the last person gets saved in this church age, we'll exit this world, and all hell will break loose. I don't know if y'all have been noticing, but I'll tell you, all of the diseases, polio's coming back, tuberculosis is coming back. Now we've got monkeypox that they're very concerned with. I think it's all over the United States now. I read this week there's over 6,000 cases, maybe already in 47 states. Not to mention COVID and all of its variances. No wonder the book of Revelation speaks about diseases and pestilences that are going to come. All of these things that antibiotics will not touch. Starvation, famine, not enough food. There's a shortage right now in the world of food. There's a shortage right now in the world of water. The book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen to the water systems of the world. What's going to happen to the fish and seas. Folks, let me tell you, this world is just going right on down the road. They're going right on down the track, not even thinking about it twice. But I want you to know what God prophesied that has been fulfilled, the rest of it will be fulfilled. You can mark it down and take it to the vault. It will happen. Would you stand as we pray together? Father, thank you for this time that we've had together to study. God bless us in the days to come as we look at Daniel and Revelation and tie all this together and see where we are as a nation. Father, many of the preachers that are really super conservative and believe in this premillennial view and the rapture of the church are preaching and warning people about the things that are to come. But as it was in the days of Noah, we see in our own day. Father, bless us in our studies together. Teach us to number our days, as the psalmist said, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.